Also, I got eaten by a bug last night. Like, they went to town on my butt cheek and also my arm.
That's taking eating ass to a whole new level.
And not a good one.
No. Hi.
Hello and welcome.
How's it going? Sorry, I talked over you. Let's try it again.
Okay, let's try it again. Hi. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Cinema Sass. Today, we're so excited.
I know. I'm super excited.
We get to take a little jog down memory lane, a brisk walk down memory lane to review the Orange Years. I say orange weird, don't I?
Orange.
Orange.
No.
Orange.
Now you're trying to make yourself sound weird.
I know. Well, that's what I heard.
It's a weird word, though. Orange is weird.
Orange is weird. Anyhow, we're going to review the Orange Years and talk about some fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Lots of new movies. Lots of greenlit shows. Maybe
some
just
new
one.
Segments from Vincent. It's going to be great.
Ooh, I'm excited. And if you know nothing about the Orange Years, we're diving into the world of Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm. Deep dive. A long dive. It's a lot of stuff.
We have warned you.
Get ready. Sit down.
Are you sitting?
Okay, great. Here we go. I feel like I just came back down to planet Earth today.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's a mess down here, but I've been in the clouds, so I don't know anything. I don't know anything that's going on. I haven't been on social media.
Well, welcome to Vincent's Corner.
Okay, great.
Where I give you all the highlights and lowlights and even some medium lights of the pop culture, movie, and television world. Let's hop right into the box office because, I mean, you and I both kind of discussed this already, but for our listeners, in a huge upset, huge, insert don't, actually don't, huge. In the Heights was expected to debut somewhere around the 20 million mark, but landed at about 11.4 million.
Whoa.
Oh, that hurts.
That's actually very shocking to me.
It's extremely shocking to me.
I don't get it.
I don't even have words for it other than I'm so sad. I will be watching it probably 17 more times this year.
Yeah.
The hybrid release, obviously, with HBO Max is probably going to be the go-to blame, of course, but several others from the studio walked away with higher debuts, like Conjuring 3, which was also in theaters, and then was there one more?
Yeah, Quiet Place 2, right?
But that one wasn't on HBO Max as well at the same time.
Oh,
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't pinpoint it on HBO Max at this point. Ugh. It's so good, though. Go watch it.
Good.
The Quiet Place 2 did top that 100 million mark, which hasn't been done since Sonic the Hedgehog passed it about 16 months ago.
Oh, my bae.
Okay, Quiet Place, we see you. Making noise at the box office.
Yes.
We stan. How do you feel about Jennifer Lopez?
It depends on the day.
Okay. There's a few new projects that were announced this week. And I love a good Jennifer Lopez movie. She just signed on to star in and produce a Netflix sci-fi thriller. It's called Atlas. And it's going to follow a woman who's fighting to save humanity from an artificial intelligence soldier that's decided to eliminate all war by eradicating all humans.
I mean, we've heard that before, haven't we?
I know, but have we seen it with J-Lo? Can J-Lo pull off sci-fi thriller is what I want to know. I mean,
I feel like she's going to be so good at like the hair flip turn where they go at the camera and the hair goes and her face is lit perfectly. She's going to nail those for sure.
Yeah. But, oh, well, have you ever seen, you probably haven't because you don't like horror movies like me, but The Cell? Mm-mm. Oh, so good. It's so creepy. It's one of the few movies that, like, when I watched as a kid, I was like creeped out. There was like this weird scene where they like, they had like different sections of like a horse sliced. Like the whole horse looked full, but then like they sliced it and then pulled them apart and then like pulled them. It's weird. Yeah. Yeah, but just seeing that as a kid, I was like, I gotta change this. And I don't do that very often.
What, slice up horses?
Yeah, it's the sliced horse for me. yeah, I think I'm excited to see some. I want to see it. Give it to me.
I feel like, what was the other Atlas movie? Oh, Cloud Atlas. Did you ever see that?
I did not see that.
I saw that. It was fucking weird, but it's still with me. It's one of those that was like so trippy. It was supposed to be like the same moment on the timeline, but where the timeline is vertical rather than horizontal.
Okay.
So like, it's like time is stacked on top of each other instead of like in a linear line. So like at each moment, this is what was happening with the same soul, but it was like different times in the timeline.
Whoa.
It was fucking
crazy. Have you ever seen that, like that gif of that woman trying to do the math in her head and then those things pop up? That's me right now.
Yeah, it was trippy, but like I said, like it stuck with me. I'm sure you could find that somewhere, Cloud Atlas. It had like everybody, Halle Berry, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Like
everybody. Yeah. I remember like being intrigued by it, but like not enough to watch it.
I was the nerd that went to it. Me and six other people went and saw that movie in theaters, I'm sure. But it was an experience, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another new film that has been announced is called Oh Hail No. And okay. So basically, this is a movie that's going to follow the relationship of Sherman, who's played by Jack Black, and Will, who's played by Ice Cube, after Sherman falls in love with Will's mom.
That's cute.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of stacked writers with it. Oh. The script's going to be by Scott Armstrong, who wrote Old School. Tracy Oliver, who wrote Girls Trip. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Jessica Gao, who's the writer of She-Hulk, a show that's going to be coming out on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And then Rodney Rotham, who wrote Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, wow. Four writers are going to give us a Jack Black Ice Cube movie.
First of all, I love both of them. Ice Cube is such a surprise for me that like he's talented and funny and like such a good actor.
Yes.
Oh, 21 Jump Street, I think. Or 22 Jump Street, wherever he was. Did you see both of those? 21 Jump Street, 22?
I think I only saw the first one.
22 Jump Street is a great sequel. Like a great sequel.
Okay, let me go watch.
Yeah. And he's in that one. So anyways, I love him. And then I love Jack Black. I haven't seen him in so long. I'm excited for this.
Me too. That combo is like one that I never would have imagined. But I'm like, why not? Why have I never imagined this?
Yeah,
I feel this is like everything I need that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, like they kind of complete each other. Like what he doesn't have, the other one does, sort of thing.
Like a yin yang kind of sitch.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm ready. I like it.
Yes. For all you comic book movie fans, particularly Aquaman, which was the only movie, by the way, outside of the Dark Knight trilogy, the only DC film to hit more than $1 billion.
Whoa.
So I know.
Wow.
I mean, I guess it's not that surprising, but like, wow.
Yeah.
Because Aquaman, I mean, I feel like Marvel has so many like big hitters that have already done that easy. So it's kind of big for DC to like, you know, have a film like that outside of Batman.
I don't know why $1 billion is so massive to me right now. Probably because we're just like talking about between 11 and 20 million is like a huge difference. You know, like everyone's scraping by, but God, that's a lot.
I mean, In the Heights was better than Aquaman, so.
Yeah, by a lot.
Hi. the title of the sequel was just announced this week. And it's going to be called Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. I kind of stan. I think I like Marvel more. Don't tell anyone I said that.
Same. I know. We're not supposed to say that because it's like the corporation or whatever. The man.
Yeah. I'll definitely be tuning into this. I mean, it's Jason Momoa. Hello.
If only for Jason Momoa, really.
Jason, hello. Let's shift a little bit.
Okay.
Let's go from movies to shows, TV.
Okay.
So there's a show that I haven't watched yet because I don't have Peacock, but I feel like I need to hop on it because it just got renewed for season two. It's called Girls 5 Eva.
Oh, never.
Have you heard of it?
Yes, no.
So it stars Sarah Bareilles. Love her.
Okay. Yeah.
And Busy Phillips.
Oh, I love her.
And so basically it's about a 1990s girl group and they get an unexpected chance at a comeback when their song gets sampled by an up and coming rapper.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know I don't want Peacock.
I don't either. I've tried to get it and like, I can't figure out how to get it.
I don't even know if they're offering it, but I don't even want to do like a free trial. Let me see if my cable is like offering it some like weird way, but like it looks good. Like the trailer looks good. And the fact that it got announced for a second season. I love that.
That's awesome. I love Busy Phillips. I loved her. Did you see her talk show?
I didn't.
Busy tonight. Busy tonight. It was really She's good. Funny. I loved it. It was really, really cool. But no one else really watched it, I think.
Yeah. You check out the trailer. It looks funny. Okay. I'm also watching the show on HBO Max called Hacks.
I've been hearing so much about this show.
It's so good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, have you heard any, like, do you know what it's about?
No, tell me about it.
It's basically like this older female comedian. She's performing in Las Vegas. And I think kind of her manager feels like she's gotten stagnant or like other things are like bigger than her. Mm. So they're trying to like scale back her shows and, you know, take her Fridays and Saturdays and give it to like Pentatonix.
Yes.
She's like, what the fuck is a Pentatonix?
And love so, them, by the way. I will stand with them.
Yeah. And so what happens is they hire like a younger like writer to try to like spruce up her jokes. And it's a writer who's like kind of flailing in the world of Hollywood. So they're trying to like, you know, match these two together to see what they can come up with. And it's so funny.
Oh, good. Who is it? Do we know anybody in it or no?
We do. Jean Smart.
Oh yeah.
She's good. And the other girl, her name is Hannah Einbinder. I don't really know her that much. And one of the creators, his name is Paul Downs. Do you know him?
That sounds familiar.
He was in a lot of Broad City episodes, if you watched that.
Okay, yeah.
He was like the guy that worked at the gym with Abby.
Yeah.
He does a lot of the writing and he's one of the creators.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about it just on social media. Like everyone's freaking out.
I highly recommend it. We're like, I think we're in like episode 7 right now, but it's really good.
Okay, cool.
Check it out. It just ended like last week, I think. I think one of the last things I have to talk about today is in a section called It's Greenlit. Disney Plus has officially greenlit their Beauty and the Beast prequel series.
What?
That's going to follow Josh Gad and Luke Evans, who are returning as LeFou.
Mm-hmm.
LeFou. And Gaston.
Yay.
And yeah, there's
that's
not much.
Like they're the villain, like a new villain origin story, kind of.
I know. As a series. I don't think it's going to be animated. I think it's going to be like live action. So that'll be fun.
The live action Beauty and the Beast I thought was great. Did you see
it? Yeah. I mean, I don't think it necessarily like added anything to my world.
No, but that was my favorite. That was my first movie in theaters was Beauty and the Beast. I was 3. And I had a huge meltdown because when the Beast turned back to the Prince, I was so upset because in my 3-year-old brain, the Prince was mean. And the Beast was nice. And I was so mad that he turned into the mean guy again.
Screaming.
Meltdown. Yeah. Full meltdown. So it's very close to my heart.
And you were how old?
3.
Speaking of Disney Plus and new series, did you like the movie Monsters, Inc.?
Of course.
A trailer just dropped for the new show, Monsters at Work. And it's obviously after Monsters, Inc. But Billy Crystal and John Goodman are back. Oh, and this time, they're trying to make children laugh in order to fuel the city.
Right, which they should have done already. We're waiting for that sequel.
I know, but now it's a show. It's going to be on Disney Plus. Ben Feldman, who's known from Superstore, he is playing a character, Tyler, who's coming in to scare the kids. But that's when he realizes that the whole system has changed. And they kind of like coach him on how it is now, how to be funny.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, it's premiering July 7th, and I'm so excited. Wow. It looks really cute. Mindy Kaling is in it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's going to be
good. I adore her.
Me too.
Okay, great. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, cool. Same. Okay, let's talk about the orange ears. Did you like it?
I really liked it.
Okay.
Did you?
Not really.
Okay, well, here's the thing. It took me, and it was probably because of the way I was taking notes, but it took me forever to get through it.
Yeah.
Like, I took a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
I would do like three sentences.
Yeah.
I would do like a sentence, enter, sentence, enter, and then like take a 20-minute
break. I know. It was like, it was interesting because we grew up with those shows and like to see those shows recapped. Once you're like living in the storm of something, you kind of don't realize the impact it's having, I guess.
Yeah.
Like when you're watching Doug, you're just like, dude, this is the best show ever. And then like 30 years later, whatever it is, like you look back and realize how much of an impact that show had on toxic masculinity and like how it influenced a whole generation of men to be gentle and kind and like loving and expressive. And, you know,
yes.
That was really cool to look back and see like, oh my God, like no wonder we're like a dope generation changing shit around. We grew up on this awesome stuff.
I think it was really cool to see they were basically like, okay, we need to step our shit up when it comes to cartoons. Yeah. And they came so hard with these main three.
Those women
Stimpy,
came hard.
Rugrats and Doug. And I was like, I didn't realize like they came like, you know, Charlie's Angel style. Like it's the three of us. What is the fuck up? You know what I mean? And those, I mean, not really Ren and Stimpy because honestly, that show kind of freaked me out.
When I was a kid. So scared when I was little. Oh my God.
Ew.
They're like vomit. I'd be like, oh my God.
I think maybe if I go back and watch as an adult, I'll be like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah. You know, though, like Rocko's Modern Life was that for me where it was like a little risque. Like yeah. It was almost Ren and Stimpy, but like not as intense. You know?
Well, that's what they said. They said, yeah. Like, Rocko's Modern Life was Ren and Stimpy meets Rugrats with the heart of Doug.
Yes.
And yeah. It's so true because Doug has a huge heart. That whole show is full of heart.
It's so sweet. And I forgot how everybody had like different colored skin that was like green and purple and blue. Do you remember that? Like, I didn't remember that
yes.
at all.
Peter was blue.
Yeah. Roger was green.
Yes. Patty was like way too tan.
Orange. Yeah. Kind of, I forgot about that and how like inclusive it was without yes. being overtly about like racial issues, but how it just showed inclusivity. It explains a lot about our generation. All three of them really did. And then we went to Clarissa Explains It All, which I honestly broke down in tears for that part because Clarissa was my role model, like 100%. She wore Doc Martens. I had to have Doc Martens. Like to wear Doc Martens in a sundress meant that I was Clarissa, and that was life. Yes. To look back and be like, there wasn't a role model who was like her, who was doing science experiments, who was talking to her parents like they were human, like not hating on them, but also not like their best friend. But she had a relationship with them and like she was so smart and funny and down to earth and like all these cool things. She wasn't just like chilling and waiting for a dude to call or whatever. Yes. She was this like bad boss bitch that was so relatable. And I was just so grateful. I was so grateful to look back and be like, oh my God, like I'm so glad that I had her as a role model.
So I definitely remember watching that as a kid, but it was on TV from 1991 to 1994. But I just remember it always being on. So I guess I was just watching a bunch of reruns and not really knowing it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I loved her. I loved, she would literally just march to the beat of her own drum. Mm-hmm. She was totally a nonconformist and they said she was a feminist.
Yes. Love that. And it like makes so much sense, right? Like look at our generation right now that's fighting for all of this change. It's like, well, duh, we grew up with all of these cool people paving the way a million years ago.
Something that I really loved about this documentary is the fact that, you know, we went back in time to these shows that I really haven't even thought about in over 10 years, over 20 years.
Yeah.
And now I want to rewatch them.
I do too, but I do and I don't, because I feel like...
Yes. I just want my memory and like liking of them to be what they are. Like, I don't want to see it and be like, this is cheesy. I don't like this. Why did I like this? No. Right. I kind of just want my younger, innocent, ignorant self to just love them for what they were as when they were, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I know what you mean. I definitely would want to watch them, but kind of don't. But kind of do. Maybe just like an episode.
Maybe just find like, what's the best episode of Doug? Google it and watch that or something, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think those would still hold up though. Like the classics, even Rugrats, like they might even be better or like different because we have different filters now and like we see life through a different lens. So it might even have more layers than we didn't even realize. It might even be better.
Even you know? Better.
Ooh. Well, now I kind of have to.
Yeah, let's go. Bye, guys.
BRB.
I guess kind of just like going back to the beginning of this documentary, though, is kind of nuts because, I mean, it's not crazy, but it kind of is crazy to think that before 1979, there were no networks devoted just to kids.
Yeah.
Like, what were kids really like watching?
Nothing. They were probably reading and like, you know, playing outside and doing
being
good stuff, but...
That's nuts.
Yeah. And what they pointed out, which was so cool, is that Nickelodeon was run by a majority of women the majority of the time, like when it was coming up and being built, like it was built by women and it's one of the most successful networks of all time. So dude, girl power.
Ew. Let's round of applause for that one, you guys. Yeah. Something I bolded and put in red is what a lot of people didn't know was how many women were at the top at Nickelodeon. I was like,
yes.
That was like within the first 5-10 minutes, I was like, I'm in.
Yep, same.
You got me.
I was thinking too, like, oh God, what did we get ourselves into? Like, are we going to sit here and listen to these straight white dudes that are probably 80,000 years old now talking about their glory days in Nickelodeon?
Right.
And then you said that, I was like, oh, thank God. Okay, we're okay.
And can I just say this? I might be the last one to the party on this one, but I did not know that Nickelodeon was an actual word. You knew that. You're like, yeah, I've known that my whole life. That was actually my first word.
Yeah, it was my first word. I only know it because of like a film class back in the day. Like I thought it was so interesting that like movies used to be pornographic only, exclusively. Like they were dirty and gross and they cost a nickel. They're called Nickelodeons. Like that's the only reason why I would ever know that though.
Yeah, you know? So a little bit of a history lesson for me.
So there you go. But I don't know why they chose it. I probably zoned out at that point. Why did they choose it for the kids network?
I don't know. I just remember them saying it was kind of like a jukebox or a movie machine that costed a nickel.
Oh, see, there you go. It used to be like, they call it like a movie box. It would be like a black box theater that holds like 20 seats. It was like the first movie theater. And it was hella dark and you go in and you pay your little nickel and hella skeezy dude would come out and they'd sit down and then like a girl would come do a strip tease basically on the screen and then they would leave. And that's what it
was. Let's bring that back. It's called OnlyFans now.
Exactly. So yeah, that's kind of how movies started. They say. They say.
They say.
Nickelodeon. Yeah.
And I'm not familiar with the show, but the very first show that they screened to be on Nickelodeon was You Can't Do That on Television. Did you ever watch that show?
Never heard of it, but it looks incredible.
It did. But it was so interesting to see Kenan Thompson, who's like he's what I know as Nickelodeon, like a main staple. He was saying that this show was, when he thought of Nickelodeon, this is what defined Nickelodeon for him. I was like, what? Girl, you define Nickelodeon for me.
Exactly. Because Kenan and Kel. Oh.
Dude, don't even get me started.
Oh, I had the biggest crush on Kel. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Talk about a versatile actor in those days doing every single thing that he did and his little skits. Oh my.
Talented and so cute. Oh my God. A little smile. Oh, so in love.
I was happy to see him on here.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
He still looks good.
Yes. I was thinking, why are you not in more things that are mainstream right now? Because you're so funny. Like, I think you're funnier than Keenan, and Keenan is still doing his thing.
Right. I agree. I think he's a little funnier than Keenan now.
Yeah.
I mean, Keenan's great, but like, I feel like he's at least at Keenan's level, at least.
Keenan is fantastic because he can do like more, I don't know. Kel is just more character based. Like, yeah, he can do any freaking character, make it his own, and just be so funny.
Yeah, I feel like he could be good, like maybe even next to like Kristen Wiig or like a Melissa McCarthy. Yeah. You know, like other big character actors, like he would fit in really well with them. With that crew.
I guess I'm kind of confused why he doesn't have a career like the Wayans brothers. Like, they're so funny and they do stuff with characters like that. Like, why was he not something like that?
Like, I could pigeonhole him. Maybe. Did he pigeonhole himself, or did we pigeonhole him? Maybe. Oh my God. Let's start a fan club. Save Kel's career.
Yeah. This podcast is actually a Kel fan club. Welcome. And this show, you Can't Do That on Television, was the first time they kind of introduced the whole getting slimed thing, which is like iconic in the Nickelodeon world.
How much money would you pay if you, let's say you had endless money in your bank account, what would being slimed be worth to you? Like, what would you pay to get slimed?
All of it.
Yeah. Same. Oh my God. Whatever they want. Actually, I did kind of get slimed in my life. It wasn't like an actual Nickelodeon slime, but they had a Nickelodeon-themed Mutiny Mondays at Dive Bar. Did you ever?
No, I've never been there before.
Dive Bar?
No.
Downtown with the mermaids?
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah. We used to go every Monday night. Well, I went a lot because I was hooking up with the bartender, but Mutiny Mondays be the themes. So like you would dress up, we'd do like zombies and nerds and whatever, and one was Nickelodeon, and they had a full obstacle course, and if you came dressed up and ready to go, then like you could run the obstacle course, and they had a nose, they built a fucking nose. We had to like dig up into it and get the flag.
You're kidding.
I have a picture of me digging in the nose, getting the flag, and then once you pulled the flag out of the nose, it like seems- hella slime came out of the nose, so I was covered in green slime.
That was like the one obstacle that I like totally like is like burned into my mind.
Yes, right?
Something that, so I went to Hollywood Studios when I was a kid. Universal Studios in Hollywood. And they had one of these, like a Nickelodeon live show.
Oh.
And basically I remember getting pulled up from the audience with my dad, and we competed against another like guardian kid combo.
Yeah.
And we basically, I don't vividly remember it, but I remember that we had to, one of us had to be inside of a giant crib and the other one was on the outside, I think wearing a diaper. And we had to like toss these spike dolls from Rugrats, like either out or into the crib.
Yeah.
And like whoever had the most like won. And I remember my dad and I won. And the prize, I got to sit in the chair that flings the pies at your face.
Yes.
Yes. I just remember being covered in, I don't remember if it was actual pie, but being covered in that stuff.
Oh my God.
biggest dream ever. Like,
oh, for sure. As a kid, that was so cool, was to be like gross and allowed to be dirty. And
yes,
you know, like to get dirty on purpose and to have people approve of it was like the opposite of reality. So like so excited even to watch kids get slimed or get gross on purpose and then have people cheer for them was like, oh my God, what is this? This
must be heaven. How do I become a part of it?
Yeah. I got to grab a flag from the nose. And yeah, so I feel it's all right.
It's a partial. We'll take
and I got
it.
Drunk and I got to go home with the bartender after. So I feel like it was a win-win-win.
You know it sounds like you got like the best of both worlds, the childhood and the adult.
The adulthood, yeah.
Yeah. I never watched it, but like I just remember it being so important, or it looking important, was Nick News with Linda Ellerbe.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, that clip.
Oh my God, I was sobbing.
I
had to pause it and catch my breath.
I had to rewatch it.
I think what makes me cry the hardest, honestly, is watching genuine human-to-human kindness. Like when two humans that probably have no business being even in the same room together, some for some weird reason connect and then are extra, extra kind or like they're so unconditionally loving towards each other. I can't handle it. Like, I'm going to tear up right now. And it was such a beautiful clip with Magic Johnson that they showed. I don't want to ruin it. Let's not spoil it. But
you guys, if you're going to watch this documentary, watch it. Like, if nothing, if you're not going to watch it, at least search the Nick News Magic Johnson clip. Because it's so heart-wrenching and adorable and sad and
beautiful.
There's a lot of emotions going on in that clip.
It was so, oh God, it was just so sweet and like genuine. We're two souls connected and they didn't have to. There was no reason for them to, you know? It just like was human to human kindness. And I just, oh God, it was over for me.
Yeah.
I loved it. Even like those human kindness commercials. I didn't even know. What are they for? What are they for? A car, probably.
I thought it was like a medical insurance.
Oh, okay. Sure. It doesn't matter because it's just the sweetest. I love them so much. And they make me cry. They do. I'm the crazy kid that's on the couch crying over a dumb commercial, but whatever. Here I am.
Okay, but the fact that all that gave Keenan and Kel this platform and they, you know, they took it and they fucking ran with it. I love them. They were like gold.
They had two movies. Didn't they do a movie? They did one movie for sure.
They definitely did Good Burger, which I love.
Yeah. I thought maybe they did a sequel or something, or they tried to do one more. I remember Good Burger though. Good for them. I feel like they made hella money.
Dude, Good Burger was the movie.
Yeah,
I love that shit. Is still funny.
Yeah,
and like true. Carmen Electra like was in that movie and she got hit by the golf ball. they're so good.
They're so funny.
I love to see Keenan like succeeding, and you know SNL, and
I know
on NBC. I think now.
Have you watched that yet?
I haven't.
It's called Keenan. It's really good.
It is.
Yeah, I was worried, but it's actually really good. Like, even the pilot's pretty decent.
I just don't know how I feel about, like, I always get a weird feeling when, like, shows are just named after, like, the main actor and just uses, like, their main name.
But I thought it was going to be, like, a two-camera, like, okay. So usually, like, sitcoms are filmed with two cameras at the same time.
Yeah.
So they can pump through them faster. And it also gives them, like, this stylized look. Like, Big Bang Theory is a two-camera show. Or, like, you know, stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
But this one is Modern Family style. So there's no laugh track or anything. And it's all handheld cameras. So it feels very like documentary style. And then they have the interviews too. They have like the characters sit down and interview and stuff about it. And so.
You know, I'm binging Modern Family right now.
I know.
It's actually resembling to it. I'm into it.
It's really funny. It's like, it'll get to a joke and you're like, oh, haha, like good punchline. And then they take it a couple steps further and you're just like, oh my God, hilarious. It's really good. It's really good. I like it.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised.
Can we get a Kel cameo on the show?
Oh, they has to. I haven't finished this season. Maybe he does at the end or something. I don't know.
Oh, I would love that.
Let's see. He has to. He has to give his buddy a bone, right? Like he has to throw something.
They have to.
Just some kind of paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
Goodness.
I cannot describe my childhood and any type of media without Nickelodeon being a huge portion of that.
Yeah, it was so influential. I'm excited to see, like, our age group right now is just starting to, like, apprentice as directors and stuff in Hollywood. So in, like, 10 years, they will be, like, the big directors, like, our generation of humans. So yeah. I'm excited to see like how, and I'm sure it has influenced like filmmakers that are going to be making films of the future, which is going to be exciting. Maybe to see some Doug influences or something. Actually, we kind of are. We are seeing a lot of beta male leads and like kind-hearted men in, I guess like kid stuff, but just in general in media. And who do you think this would be for? Like what kind of audience?
This is solely for our generation.
Yeah, 90s.
The generation before is someone like it. But I mean, anyone really after us?
No. This is for the millennials.
Live in the 90s. If you weren't watching TV in the 90s, this is not for you.
Yeah. If you don't identify as a millennial, don't worry about it.
If you have not used hashtag adulting ever in your life, this is not for you.
Right.
And I mean, with this documentary, they're not trying to like pitch anything to you. They're not like trying to change your mind. Yeah. They're not trying to get you to act on global warming here. They're just giving you 150% nostalgia. And mm-hmm. I mean, I lived for it. I didn't live for the documentary as a whole because it did take me a while to get through, a lot of pausing and playing, but just seeing and getting to revisit my childhood like that in a way I haven't done in a very long time.
Yeah.
Was necessary almost. It was cute. Yeah. It was cute.
It was, I mean, ultimately it was worth it. I think just the style of it, like it was so formatted. Like it was the exact same equation for every show. This is how I run through it. Present the title, present the show, who did it, you know, like it was so like, it was almost episodic in a weird way, but then like strung together. But maybe like baby episodes or something would have been better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If they would have gone a little maybe deeper and cut it up into like 8 episodes or something.
Yeah, they should have called me. Again, Hollywood.
Yeah, fucked up.
You gotta call us before you make this shit.
If you watch Nickelodeon at any point in your life, any of the shows that we talked about you loved, it's a cute little watch.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Even if it's just something like playing in the background and you're doing a puzzle or something.
Oh, cute. Like cooking dinner even, or you know. Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
It's not something that you necessarily have to sit and like concentrate on.
Yeah.
Let it play in the background.
Exactly. And if you miss a few minutes, like it's okay. Like you don't miss a lot.
If you miss Jessica Alba's cameo in Secret Life of Alex Mack, you may be damaged, but I think that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Did you rate it?
I would rate this 3 noses that you picked flags out of.
Oh, cute. I did 2.5 slimes.
Oh, we love the slimes.
Oh, Rugrats would be cute too. I'm going to do 2.5 Rugrats.
Which ones? Which 2.5?
You decide.
Ooh. Well, the half has to be Dill, the little brother. So.
Oh, I forgot about Dill. Dill Pickles. Thank you so much for listening to our 4th episode. I'm here by myself, unsupervised. Vincent is just like out living his life, as he should be. And so I'm going to do the recap by myself. Okay. Just stay with me here. We're going to get through this together. Okay. Everybody deep breath. Here we go. In the Heights. Please, 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 if you are able to, please go see it in the theaters. It is worth it. Otherwise, you can watch it on HBO Max. Mortal Kombat, you can also see on HBO Max. Sonic the Hedgehog is on Prime Video. I think it's free, but don't quote me. Cloud Atlas is on Hulu and on Prime Video. The Cell is on Apple TV. Girls Trip, you can see on Hulu. Good Burger, you must watch it again, is on Netflix. You can see 21 and 22 Jump Street on Hulu, which I highly recommend you do. Aquaman, you can see on HBO Max. Girls 5 Eva on Peacock. Busy Tonight, if you can see some clips on YouTube, I recommend it because she's great. Hacks, you can see on HBO Max. Beauty and the Beast, the live action version, is on Disney Plus. I think the cartoon is as well. It has to be. It is. Superstore is on Hulu and Kenan is on Hulu as well. I think that's it. I hope that's it. But like I said, I'm by myself. I don't know. If not, just let us know. Hit me up. DM me or something. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. We love you. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.